Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Main Street DSA, the home of our new podcast on Disney Sorcerer's Arena. I'm Eric Taylor, a.k.a. The Extraterrestrial, and after speaking with Edna Mode, she got us the fine venue, but as always, she's quite busy, so she let me beam over the esteemed guest to hang out and chat DSA. How are you this evening?
I am fantastic. It's been a very busy week, to say the least, so it's nice to be able to sit down, talk some game with you, because there's been some great information that's come out the past couple of days. So I ask you the same question. How are you?
I am exhausted. Mrs. Terrestrial, I have a teething one-year-old, so that's tiresome. And schooling two children in this Earth school system is also exhausting. While it's all from home here where we're stationed. But besides that, you know, it's been good. Got to play some DSA, got to hang out with my kids this weekend. So it's been all right overall. Just got to get some sleep once I
good luck
edit and upload this. Right?
I went through it twice. Good luck.
Yep. So we have a little bit of change from last week because Edna insisted we change up the format a little bit. She wasn't willing to let her guests be on the other format and made some creative suggestions. And, you know, she being who she is, it was stuff we took. So this first segment
we're calling
the Main Street Gazette. So really quickly, first thing on the front page, down that little section at the bottom, any personal news in DSA for you that you feel is important to share with the DSA community?
Biggest one for me, I passed the 200K threshold in summoner score. So I was, very happy about that in game. I got a couple more 7 stars finally, but I am this close, so close to having my first ever gear tier 7, 7-starred character. And it's a ridiculous grind, but I think the most appropriate one to bring up was Hero. So I brought him up and he's almost done. So in-game, I'm very happy. We did not do well in Conquest, so I can't brag about that, unfortunately. But you can talk more about the premiere weekend as well, because you definitely had a good weekend when it came to Conquest for the new extension of the Edna Mode brand, if you will, our new club, Anti-Edna's Tiny Gods.
Yep. Yeah, so for me in DSA, I got my first 7-star character. This past week, I got my Shunyu to 7 stars. I'm a totally free-to-play player. They don't take Martian currency. It's very difficult as a thing. Glue should get on that. But so I got my first 7-star, and then, like you said, we started up. Well, you started up the Edna Mode's Tiny Gods, you know, kind of allied club with your main club, the slightly more casual, friendly club. Step up from, you know, the login and have Disney characters beat up as new Disney characters, but not top 50 level like you guys are. And we had our first conquest this weekend as well, and we smoked them, to be honest. Quite solid win. We had the whole new co-leads stepped up, and we had some great shots being called, and it went really well. I also realized just how far out of my weight class I'm punching with my little free-to-play summer score. So that was exciting, and it made my wife and my son, who both have even lower summoner scores than me, feel a little bit out of touch. But we'll get there. We'll get there. We had a roster rework earlier today and changed some things around, so hopefully we can throw it down in there. But as for us, most people want to hear probably what's going on in the game rather than us. So let's chat a little bit about this past week. Last week, right after our show, Goofy came out. Goofy's broken, but not in the way Else is broken or Hero is broken.
Yep.
In the bad, the other bad way. So tell me a little bit about Goofy being busted.
So the quick version of what happened with Goofy was everybody got very excited because, as we had predicted in the past week's show, there was going to be some kind of synchronization between Goofy's basic or some kind of major attack of Goofy that will call and summon assists from Sensational Six or Mickey and Friends characters. And that's what came to be. His basic on level two, once you put in the Alpha Rune upgrade, you receive a 10% chance to have a random Sensational Six or Mickey and Friends character assist on that attack. So all of a sudden, a lot of possibilities came up with a shadow team using Peter Pan's shadow. A lot of possibilities came up with tactics to guarantee that attack, putting on a shadow on him to have more basics come onto the field. There was a lot you could have done with it. And then we tested it, and it didn't work in two different ways. Number one, it does not summon the category Mickey and Friends. So we're talking about Big Bad Wolf, Pete, Steamboat Mickey, if you have him unlocked. None of those characters are being summoned on that attack. In addition, when you put tactics on that attack, it did not guarantee a 100% assist from a random character. So the possibilities went down. I even submitted video evidence to Glue myself under their work order tickets to show that this is the command, this is the failure to execute, you have issues with X, Y, and Z. Because we did it live on stream on Friday, and we tried and tried and tried. Mickey and Friends would not assist. So unfortunately, he is broken, but not in the slang way, in the literal way. His main potential to be great is not great. And that stinks, because there's a lot we could have done with him.
Yep.
If I put him with a Peter Pan team, like I was testing kind of a little earlier tonight, imagine the cloning possibilities if you put on him with a full Sensational Six, or him with Sven, Bubbles, and Genie, because all of them are great options to clone. Mm-hmm. Then the clones would even call each other. There's so much you could have done with that.
Yeah, but if it were working.
Exactly. Only if it were working, though.
Yeah, and as we saw in patch notes, which we're about to get into, nothing got mentioned about it. So it sounds like whatever the fix is either Glue's not quite paying attention to it, or it's a deeper under the hood kind of issue that takes a while to fix. So we'll keep our eyes on that. Let's
Option
talk
one.
Yeah. Maybe. To have that level of assisting, that's a lot of kind of triggers in there. So maybe it's deeper under the hood than we think it is. And I'm sure tactics is wonky to get to do things. But we'll have to see. So in patch notes today, we got a little brief blurb. Let's talk about it. Haunted PvP arena takeover. Packs are going to contain bonus spooky coins, which are good, and headless torsman tokens, which are certainly a thing that we can get. Horseman's not bad. That silence can be really nice, especially at the tier where I'm at. Hitting those big silences in that straight line can be really good. I happen to play at a level where positioning is something people are still learning. So you would be surprised how effective a big line silence can be when you play at that level right now. What does this mean? Does this mean that the pack, I'm assuming this is the pack that we currently get yokai in. Would that be your understanding of PvP arena takeover pack?
I think so. I think it would be a daily, you get 20 tokens if you get the pack open, the same way that they've implemented for the 14th through the 16th in Club Dungeon. You will receive 20 spooky tokens for every level that you complete. Even if you replay level 20 over and over, you still get 20 tokens, 20 tokens.
You actually get it if you lose.
I would expect.
My wife lost. Yeah, my wife lost a level today. She couldn't. She still hasn't reached the point where she can consistently beat 20. She can only beat it sometimes. She still got her coins.
That's news to me.
So, yep.
So live breaking here. I would assume 20 or 50 for the pack,
yep,
somewhere in that range.
I feel like with more PvP, it's got to be 50. Like, I feel like 20, comparing getting 10 trophies, right? Quote unquote, getting 10 of those little trophy icons compared to doing one club dungeon level, I feel like they've got to give us more than 20.
The only reason I think they wouldn't is mm-hmm. because of the value you get out of 50 tokens specifically.
Mm. Oh, sure.
I think that automatically to reward somebody with 2 Queen of Hearts tokens, for example, which is a possibility for getting that pack. And based off them announcing it right now, I'm assuming the PvP arena takeover will happen after the reset, which from the time that you listen to this should be within 24 hours. It'll be at the end of the day on Thursday. So putting that all together, I would assume it's only going to be in the pack. I would assume probably also 20 tokens.
Yeah.
But not until Friday, until the reset happens for the month.
And I think I agree with the timing. I'm still leaning toward 50. I think it'll be 50 tokens rather than 20, but we'll have to see. Also, Queen's Clash, the most discordantly flavor messed up event in the game, because we're going to go fight the Queen of Hearts to get Zerg, which makes no sense at all, is coming back, which is Downtown Villains, if I recall correctly.
Correct.
Zerg's great. I know there are mixed opinions of him in the community. I really like Zerg. I don't have him, but you know, I like what his kit does on paper, and when I see people play with him, I like what he does. So I think this will be... I'm excited with the fact that the Passholder pack, which we haven't gotten to, is Zerg, even though I don't buy it, that more Zerg will be out there. I think it's interesting that they've kind of doubled down on Downtown for a little bit. I know that everybody's kind of speculating that our Oceanics pass is coming to an end, and we're going to get, a lot of people are saying Mythical. I kind of wonder if maybe this is showing their hand that they might go Downtown.
I don't necessarily believe that it's going to head towards Downtown. I think that it's specifically geared because it's the month of October, mm-hmm. and because all of the different villains or Halloween themed elements of Disney could be implemented to theme the month. I think that's the push in what you're starting to see with them bringing in the Queen's Clash, with them bringing in Sally, with them bringing in Spectral, which has the Horned King, and we'll get to all those in a minute. But I think that that's the element that they're pushing, considering that I've also seen some potential data mine information confirming more of those Halloween villains and heroes
mm-hmm.
coming to light with more tokens in the future. So I think it's just an effort in that sense. If they were pushing Downtown heroes, I would say you might be onto something, specifically alluding back to the Q&A that the developers did a couple of weeks ago, where they hinted towards Zootopia in some way, shape, or form. Then I would say you're on to something. But because it's the month of October and because it's mostly villains, it's the only reason I'm steering the other direction.
Yep, and that's entirely possible. Stitch Tower is coming back. We were both wrong. We assumed we'd get 3 Tritons in a row. We got 2. But Stitch Tower is coming back. So, you know, get your mythicals ready. Go chase that little 6-armed goober. Spectral Standoff is coming back. That is the Horned King fight, but I don't remember what we care about it for.
Health. That is the event in which you can receive the rewards that lead towards building level 2 and level 3 stones for the health element. Uh-huh. And if you play Kristoff, for example, in any way, shape, or form, who should probably be your number one focus on the health stone,
mm-hmm.
that's what you're waiting for on this event. You could technically use it on any defensive focused character to give, especially one that I should say that utilizes a taunt that is meant to absorb and absorb and absorb damage, whether it be a chunk, whether it be Mordue. I mean, the list goes on, but just to give you an idea, somebody like Kristoff, who already has a very high health pool, to boost that to as high as over 20,000 health, depending on your level, you want this event to come back as often as possible to build that 10%, and if you can, even a 15% health stone specifically. You also get crit chance out of it. It's probably probably the most underused stone, because you could pretty much replace it with offense and receive the same damage. Yeah. So it's one that I don't necessarily think they weighed as appropriately in development, that they could have built other things like an evasion stone. They could have built a potency stone, but we've only, with what we have, everything is speed number one, offense number two. If you're a defensive character, you want health or defense, primarily health. So it's probably, in my opinion, the third most important stone, because then you're going underneath that with recovery, crit power, and then last, unfortunately, is our little amber beauties of crit chance.
Just need more on crit effects. Like, we need more abilities in the game that when you crit, it's not just extra damage, but you do a different thing. And then all of a sudden that stone becomes at least slightly more valuable. Sally's useless potions event is coming back. Potent potions.
Yeah.
We call it by the right thing. Glue, if you watch this podcast, give us, please, a Agrabah's Traveling Bazaar. It can come once a week, and we can trade potions for stuff that matters. Because I'm a free-to-play player who's been playing since August. I have 1.5 million potions. I don't need more potions. Guest has more than that. I know that if Barstool was here or Pyman was here, they could drown us in the potions that they have. So give us something to trade those potions for, because they're pointless.
Grand, I'm over 3 million right now.
Yeah. So just too many. And put it in there. Follow the Final Fantasy 14 method and give us a potion sink that you can adjust down later. But let us spend them, and then you can tweak the economy afterward. But right now we have a totally useless currency that's insane. I can chat more about that on a YouTube video, but Grand Coin X2 is this weekend. So we've talked about the fact, both of us, that we're hoarding our Grand Campaign coin right now, for when they eventually put some of these newer characters into those chests. So that will aid in that particular stance. Talked about the new Passholder season being Emperor Zerg, and probably the two biggest things is the new Haunted Mystery Packs materializing soon. What does that mean? No one knows.
I don't know. I mean, the Haunted Mystery Packs, for those who do not know, are the packs that you can open using your spooky coins. There's a 50 coin redemption one right now, and there's a 200 coin redemption one right now. Are they coming out with a 500 one? Are they coming out with a 1,000 one? Are they changing what you could potentially get from them? Because they've done that already once. Mm-hmm. The first version of spooky coins, from the first 3 or 4 days that they came out, their choices in what you could potentially generate were very limited. And then the second time around, once they re-released it after Spookygate happened, all of a sudden, we saw new equipment as a possibility, and we saw different levels of coins, like for gold, I should say. And are they tweaking it again, or are they giving us something else to save up for? This makes me lean, like, thinking of how Glue has been working recently, and they've already invested. There's only so many villains they could put in there. There's only so many pieces of gold or combinations of different potions that they could put in there that are worthy of the increments of 50 and 200. I could potentially see a 500 redemption, where instead of 2 to 3, it's the exclusive, what they label as exclusive characters, or formerly exclusive even, like possibly get 5 Shan Yu, 5 Horned King, for example. I could see something like that, but we're only going to find out, and maybe we'll find out before next Wednesday.
Yeah,
we'll find out soon. Because that's how they implemented the spooky coins they announced last week on Wednesday, saying they're going to be a part of the arena, and then they didn't come in until 7 full days later, just before the next patch notes had to come out. Blue's done that a couple times with some announcements on Wednesdays, and if it's going to happen on a Wednesday, I would rather that kind of information be explained in a patch note that people discovered that morning or that day, rather than don't tell me on the Wednesday before, and then I've got to wait until it happens 7 days later, then, oh yeah, no, we still did it. It's still the same week. It just doesn't have a good feel to it.
Yeah. All right. And the biggest news, and something you're incredibly excited about, Donald's coming tomorrow. We're moving on to the next stage of everything. I know that you are a longtime, lifetime Donald Duck fan. You were correct last week. He is a DPS dealer. If I'm 100% honest, I firmly believed you were right, but I wanted to, you know, play the Kingdom Hearts angle just for the heck of it. I knew I was wrong. There was no possible way, because let's face it, everybody who plays Kingdom Hearts thinks it's ridiculous. But he is going to do layers of damage, which I have to wonder, does that mean DOTs? Does that mean waves of damage with multiple hitting attacks? I feel like those are the two ways those could go. And he's going to become empowered / enraged when he, Donald ducks out and does kind of thing. And he is listed, assuming it works, because we know it didn't with Goofy, that he will be a powerful ally to Daisy, I believe is in the write-up, as well as Mickey and Friends. So not Sensational Six, which is a category in and of itself, but Mickey and Friends, which, if I recall correctly, includes like Big Bad Wolf and Pete and some of these other characters. I know you're really excited about Donald. I imagine, knowing you, you have done a moderate amount of dream kit building in your brain with this particular set of information that we have. We'll know in, 16 hours-ish. No, longer than that. I can't.
Less. We'll know from the time that we're recording this currently, we'll know what his kit does.
Oh, that's true.
In 4 hours.
In 4 hours.
We'll be able to unlock him and start participating in the event in 16 hours from now. Yeah. So you're always looking for midnight Pacific Standard Time.
I am looking for that to be when my eyes are already closed. That's true. But
valid
yes.
Point.
Me too. Yeah. So we'll find out more tomorrow. But with that information, what do you think's coming? Because we did get positive feedback on that segment last week where we speculated a little bit. So
reading into it, as I kind of did with Goofy, I like to really dissect, because if there's something that they've done very well in the patch notes, when they give us these teasers or general pieces of information explaining what the character is, most of what you need is already there a day before. So when I read Donald's Foul Temper deals layers of damage to enemies, you had a great idea with the attack over time doing something like continuous damage. I kind of see it as a possible Elsa-style move where stand back as he flies into a rage. So I kind of see that as when he gets empowered, he creates some kind of AoE attack. Very similar to once you get 4 crystals onto Elsa, she does an AoE that's unavoidable. I don't know if his will be unavoidable, but I could see something of that nature where if he becomes empowered, that happens and everybody gets hit. He gains more offense and defense when Donald is empowered, which also makes me lean towards, why would you increase his defense if he's empowered? If he becomes empowered, does he gain taunt? That could be part of the kit. I don't know. But it's very interesting to me that they're focusing a lot of information towards offense, but then you're also receiving defense up during empowerment also. So that word, I don't know why defense is in there. Something is going to be focused towards Donald, not in a defensive side. He's not going to be a tank. Obviously, we know about that now being goofy. So he's going to be a strong attacker, and he already has built-in synchronization within Daisy's kit where she can perform one of her specials and Donald will automatically gain empowered. Mm-hmm. The other interesting part was in the third line where they state, though short-tempered, Donald is a powerful ally to Daisy Duck and his other Mickey and Friends teammates. Now, remember, think of Sensational Six and Mickey and Friends like squares and rectangles. All rectangles are not squares, but all squares are rectangles. All Sensational Six are Mickey and Friends, but not all Mickey and Friends are Sensational Six. Mm-hmm. So I think that was just an abbreviation for text only. I think that the fact that they wrote in specifically, though short-tempered, I feel like that his empowered is going to be limited. It's not going to be something like Mordu or Elsa or Triton, where it remains, or it can remain, I should say, for a longer period of time as part of their kit. I see this as a possible one turn, you're empowered up until your next attack. Mm-hmm. And that could play really, really interesting with Daisy's kit, where you're then trying to time her special to recharge, which will give him automatically empowered. The special I'm referring to is called I've Had It, and that takes a 4 recharge. But on turn start, on game start, I should say, she already has 3 out of 4. So you still have to wait one turn before you can use I've Had It, which inflicts defense down to other opponents. Mm-hmm. So if the opponents already have defense down, you give empowered to Donald, who now has clearly offense up. That could be one massive attack, and Donald could have the potential to be a very interesting tune, not only just for his partnership with Daisy, but for possible synchronization with whatever Pluto and Minnie come to have. Mm-hmm. Especially if he's empowered with Goofy's basic, if they fix it and he gets called to assist. There's so much you could do with this, and I'm so excited to wake up tomorrow and read his kit in full. Yep. Because if it's as good as I'm hoping it will be, next week I'm going to be running a solid Ducks team, and I can't wait for that.
That'll be fun. I have to wonder, one of the things that they experimented with Goofy is the negative effect that has a positive outcome, right? The slow when he taunts. Mm-hmm. I have to wonder if the reason he's getting defense up is because maybe he does taunt. I mean, if you've got a whirlwind of a duck going nuts, it's hard not to put attention on the duck, right? Yeah. Maybe he does give himself taunt. Maybe he does give himself something. But to me, it would be interesting to see if with the Sensational Six, they're experimenting with the idea of negative that's a net positive, right? Those balance effects. Because in several other games, there's a lot of that. There's the, I do this to myself, but I give myself this buff in addition. And I think it would be interesting to see if they are testing those waters to see if they can push things to be more powerful while giving a negative at the same time.
You've put the idea in my head that while empowered for that one turn, he has taunt and counter. With offense up.
Mm-hmm. That would be, yeah. And your issue then is how squishy is your Donald and how many people can he kill while they beat him up, right?
Basically, which is why you give him defense up.
Yep. Yep. I think it's an interesting route that they can go down because they are getting, Glue is getting yelled at about power creep. They absolutely are. And for as young as this game is, that's a scary thing to already be getting beaten over the head with, is mm-hmm. how bad the power creep is. And one of the ways you can balance power creep is for the positive, you give yourself a little bit of a negative. And then it also aids in decision making, and it makes for better players. Because let's face it, there are some of the teams out there that are not hard to play, and that are just really insane. So I would like to see that. Let's jump down, put on Mickey's tinfoil hat, chat about a couple things. We already put it on earlier, as we expect, talked about Donald. If Goofy were working, you talked about you think he could be a powerhouse, especially if Donald works the way you think he's going to work. And that's the stance we're going with, right? I don't have Goofy unlocked, free to play. I ain't getting there for a while. But you feel that Goofy will be quite strong once he functions.
Yes, I think that he would end up having several different homes. You could easily, even at a 3-star, 4-star level with Goofy, he could become a serious contender to be a defensive option. Like I said, and I was experimenting with a Peter Pan's shadow style effect team. You could do a Sensational Six hybrid that focuses on adding Genie to it. Specifically, where you put Peter Pan's shadow, Genie, Goofy, put in both ducks and put in Mickey, which already has assist based into his kit also. So even if he gets a basic, so if the Peter Pan's shadow, I should say, clones a Mickey, the Mickey also on his basic has a 20% chance to assist automatically.
Mm-hmm.
And if the ducks have their synchronization and Goofy's got the possibility that he could call random Sensational Six characters, and if it's cloning either Mickey, Genie, or Goofy, and you've got the save from there's so much that could happen with that team. I could see it pushing that way. I could see it put for Goofy specifically. I could see him pushing outside of Mickey and Friends and outside of Sensational Six. Not much further right yet. Because not many people are investing into a 7-star Goofy at this point. Because not many people know what his potential and what his functionality is going to be if they fix that. So I can only theorize, and I would prefer to only theorize so far.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know that it's wonderful to live in the world of what if, and that's why we wear the tinfoil hat. But at the same time, the reality is, when people submit that information and the email response that I receive personally is that we've passed it on to the developers. And then patch notes comes out and they haven't discussed or acknowledged there's a fix and there will be implemented in so-and-so future. If that's the case, I can't theorize too far outside of his Sensational Six Harmony, just organically, if he's going to be viable or not yet.
Yeah. And that's my biggest concern is I feel like it should have been, we have received reports of and identified an issue with Goofy's kit. We are looking into it. Like, that is the standard jargon for games that get patches. And the fact that it wasn't there definitely was a thing that stood out to me personally. Real quickly, I don't remember if they've said if it's Minnie or Pluto next week. I don't recall.
Nope.
But we're getting one of them next week based on what we've been told. Do you have a guess which one and what are they going to be? Real fast, quick fire style.
Pluto, I think, will be next because I think they're going to save Minnie for last because she's going to have some kind of harmony with Mickey that I feel like none of us are going to see coming. And I haven't found it yet in his kit art. Of what it could potentially be, whether it's tactics for her. I just don't know. But I think it's going to be Pluto first, and then we'll get Minnie absolutely last.
And I think we'll get Pluto as well. I think that Pluto and Minnie both will synergize very heavy with Mickey, and I think that it's going to become this, do I run these three, or do I run the other ones? Because Pluto's his best friend in the whole world, right? And then Minnie's his soulmate. So I think there will be some combination there. I hope, I don't know, you don't believe that there's going to be a Red Pants Mickey that's put in the game as a third version of Mickey.
Nope.
I hope that at least we get a Red Pants Mickey costume. That's my, you know, I want to see a Red Pants version of Mickey running around with the Sensational Six. I don't want to see Sorcerer's Mickey, but
not going to happen. And I can tell you why, unfortunately, with about 95% certainty, because in game, the Mickey characters are specifically named Sorcerer's Apprentice Mickey and Steamboat Mickey. They're acknowledged as their own individual styles and characteristics, which is why you have two costumes that are both Sorcerer's costumes for Mickey, which be ready, that pack to be able to get that costume for Mickey will come back this month without a question of a doubt.
Yep. I still just hope we see Mickey Mouse. I know you don't believe it'll happen, but until I see it not happen, I'm going to hold out hope. That's
my theory is solely because is based off the ad.
Yeah.
Where the ad did acknowledge five specific villains. They brought out the Sensational Six event, and three out of those five villains were in the ad.
Mm-hmm.
I really truly believe that it's forecasting that you're not going to see Steamboat. I mean, you're not going to see Mickey classic
Mouse. Yeah.
Mickey Mouse. You're going to see going up against Pluto and Minnie. I'm a firm believer you're going to finally see Maleficent and you're finally going to see Ursula, because they were the other two villains that have not been featured in the Sensational Six event yet.
Mm-hmm.
And there's only two more technically that need to be unlocked.
Right.
That's my personal feeling. I would love to say I'm wrong, but
here's,
I don't know.
Here's my big tinfoil.
The way I'm leaning.
Here's my big tinfoil, and we'll move on.
Mm-hmm.
End of the month, we get the raid announcement. It's Ursula, like everybody thinks it's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
The raid announcement includes the fact that one of the raid drop tokens is Mickey Mouse. Rather than him being in the Sensational Six event, Mickey Mouse, the man who's, you know, the character whose three circles are the face of the company, is your first raid drop, epic drop tokens. If I were glue and I were holding on to that surprise, that would be how I did it. But then again, we'd already have an Agrabah's Traveling Bazaar if I did it. So what do I know?
Valid point. But I think the reward out of it is going to be Ursula tokens.
Yeah.
I think she's what they're all building towards. Mm-hmm. That's what I think.
Yeah. And I agree. I want it to be more. And that leads us into our next segment that we're going to hit real quick. And this segment will be an ongoing segment for those listening. We're going to come back and we're going to hit this in more detail every week, but we're going to fly through just a basic overview on this week for week one. We're going to talk about how we want to see raids implemented in DSA, because a lot of DSA's competitors have raid style activities. Empires and Puzzles, which is a game that I play that sure is not a direct competitor, but it's a gacha match 3. I played it for a number of months. It has the Titan, and your entire alliance throws people at the Titan. Star Wars Galaxy of Heroes has raids. Marvel Strike Force has raids. Raid Shadow Legends has clan bosses. I believe there's something in AFK Arena. Like, there's all kinds of stuff. Summoner's War, I know, has something similar. All of those things have this kind of raid mechanic, and right now, DSA being the new kid on the block, doesn't. But we know it's coming. So, because we haven't gotten any information, and Glue has left us with a wide open playground that they won't ruin tomorrow, hopefully, we're going to talk about what we want to see. Now, I know you have not really played in any game that has raid content in it at all.
No, this will be the first experience for me. And in a way, because of the time commitment and the investment that I've put into this game so far, it's nice to not have an expectation, but to just be excited, because I hear a lot about, well, here's how it works and here's what is probably going to happen. Now, for me, I'm just taking the base information of the style.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm taking a blank Disney slate and trying to hybrid them together. And for me, that creates a, at least in concept, a much better idea of what reality is going to be if I were to try to guess what that reality would be.
Mm-hmm.
You've gone through many of these games, but in a slightly different format. So if you were to head forward with putting on the tinfoil hat, if you will, mm-hmm. of speculating within raids, where do you think it's going to go based off what you know is usually implemented?
So most of my raid experience is actually in MMOs. So actual wide AAA releases on, you know, PC. But I did play Empires and Puzzles for a long time and did a lot of Titans. Based upon what I know about how these games work and based upon what I know about how raiding is interpreted in things like MMOs and Destiny 2 and those kind of things, and based upon my knowledge of Disney and how they like to kind of, you know, innovate a little bit on things and probably pushed that to glue as a, hey, if we're going to be partners, you got to do a little bit of this. I think we will get the more campaign roadmap style levels. And which is how Marvel Strike Force works, is you get essentially a map that has a bunch of nodes that you have to clear. And I think we'll get something like that, that clubs will work together to clear. You'll probably throw your lower tier people at your easier levels. You'll throw your higher tier people at your harder levels as they unlock. It'll be a coordinated effort. And then we'll get our big bad. We've talked about the fact that this one is pointing toward Ursula. So throw us into Ursula. And then it becomes regular runs, you know, over and over at the same boss. It's go in, throw teams at it, essentially suicide your way, but lower the boss's massive health bar, and that health bar is universal. The same way a universal health bar exists in like a Pokemon Go raid, or in the way the Titan was in Empires and Puzzles. The Marvel Strike Force, I believe, has the same thing. So to me, I think that is what we will see. I hope we see something more interesting than that, personally. I don't know if we will, because there are limitations to the way these kind of games play out. But I would like to see individual phases. I would like to see a raid lasts a week, the same way Conquest lasts for X amount of time, right? I would like to see a raid lasts a week. Or 4 days and Conquest goes the other three, right? You have your two separate pushes. And during day one and two, we just build up power, essentially. We clear out levels as many, you know, it works kind of like our Stitch Tower, our Triton Tower does. And you accumulate power, and that power gets translated into buffs, quote unquote, you know, nebulous buffs that apply to your characters to beat the big bad. It just makes the boss easier to fight. It makes the boss more interesting to fight. And it gives you a multiple phase kind of thing. Because if you look at people like me or my wife or my son or some of the other sons that are in our club, we aren't going to be able to go throw ourselves at an Ursula that our 120,000 plus summoner score people are making big dents in and feel effective. So I'm hoping that Glue implements something that lets us feel effective and contribute to our club's progress. In addition, I would like to see it be something that really requires team coordination and teamwork. And I would like to see something that is more interesting than a massive health pool on a really big enemy on the screen. And I want to see a super cool environment to play in. Because I like some of these events where we go in and you get that cool like mini cutscene intro, and I want to see something cool every time we go in and fight the raid.
My theory, I have two different theories on how the raid is going to be laid out.
Mm-hmm.
One is looking at the fact that they've made such a push with Oceanics, obviously, by showing in gear tier 7.5 for Gantu, for example, that there are pieces that have not been discovered yet, quote unquote, is how it's phrased. Yeah. And then you look at Prince Eric's kit and the fact that he has an effect that specifically states if the target is Ursula. I think that part of me wants to say that this is a journey in the ocean, specifically going deeper, deeper in the cavern, almost kind of in the visual look like how Club Dungeon looks, but going deeper and deeper and deeper. That would be option A in how I would say it would visually or themed be looking. The other one is kind of referring back to, as we talked to earlier with the DSA Q&A with Zootopia. I could also easily see from the movie, there's this transportation system, a monorail bus style, I forget exactly what it is, but I think it's a train style system that goes between these very unique different lands. And that could be an element that they could theme it with too. Not just Zootopia characters specifically, but the layout of cold, rainforest, city, etc.
Give me and that the hub and spoke theming. Design?
Yes.
Just give me the hub and spoke design as a raid. That's what I want.
Yeah, not even necessarily like hub and spoke, like a wheel, but in the sense of even if it's still linear,
mm-hmm.
just still having that. That you go through those different environments along the way. And the reason I think Zootopia is because there's either 7 or 8 in the movie that they acknowledge and list.
Right.
And I very heavily am leaning on that wink, wink, nudge, nudge from that Q&A. And I know that, but I think that that's there for a reason. I don't think that's Meathead saying it's his favorite movie. I think that it's something. Mm-hmm. And we just haven't gotten that information yet to what it is. But if I were to choose 2 different directions of what it could be and how it would be laid out, I would say those would be the 2 different themes. If I had to pick my favorite, I would definitely say The Little Mermaid.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say that's probably most likely, not because of Triton's kit, but because of Eric's kit specifically.
So I'm gonna close with this and move into outros because I'm running out of air being here on Earth. Gotta get back up to the ship. It's breathing a lot of oxygen down here. But I want a raid interface the same way we have a club interface, you know, with the club dungeon, the same way we have tower interfaces, whatever. I want something on the map I can click on that takes me into raids. I don't want us to get one raid and no other raids ever. I want us over the life cycle of this game to get more raids. Again, I'm hoping for a hub and spoke design where we go in and we're in our raid command center and we have our different raids that spoke off and then we can go into each of those. That's what I want to see. It's probably wishful thinking. It's me being like, hey, I wish I was a game designer so I could give cool ideas. But I want them to make raids something special and I want them to make raids something unique. And I want them to make raids something challenging that are also accessible. There needs to be multiple difficulties because I want casual clubs to be able to hit raids and get some level of rewards for it. And then I want the Disney Titans and the Edna Mode and guests and all of these other really high profile teams to have something to smash their head against. Yep, Frontierland now. I want those people to have something that will challenge them as much as you can challenge a whale in these games. Because let's face it, in a game like this, you can buy your way out of more or less any challenge. But I don't want, and this is my biggest hope, and it's actually my biggest concern about raids, and then we're going to get out of here. I don't want this to only cater to royals. I will be livid if this end game pinnacle PvE activity only caters to people who throw a bunch of money around in this game. I will be very, very upset.
I don't think it will. I do believe that there are going to be different levels, and I think it's going to be based off of club power.
Mm-hmm.
I think that there will be an associative, what's the word I'm looking for?
Metric.
Like there will be a metric. There you go. That will say, okay, your club's power or average summoner score or whatever it may be is X, Y, and Z. And therefore, your competition level is this. And I think that in the beginning, those upper clubs will get their butts kicked because they're going to run into something that does not exist currently in the game because you're not going to be able to get it until you complete X, Y, and Z levels of raids, and that's gear tier 8. I think the fact that there's going to be a moment where you're going to have the 300, 400,000 summoner score players that have a 45 or even there now exists 5K teams, they're going to go up and all of a sudden realize they're up against a 6K team because they're all 7 stars, gear tier 8, level 70. And then they're all of a sudden, they're going to be so happy because they got their butt kicked rather than just kicked a butt for the first time in a long time. That they finally now have a challenge and something else to work forward to. Whether you buy there, whether you play there, that's on you. But I know that the upper 5% right now is struggling to keep involved because they've already invested financially
thousands
heavily into this game and they're not being as challenged as they could potentially be.
Yeah, that is my...
I think it's going to be available to everyone.
Yeah, that's my hope is it's available to everybody. And I want there to be a race to world first. I want there to be people who are beating their heads against it, throwing themselves against it. I don't want the highest difficulty to be cleared on week one. I just don't. I want to see these clubs fight for it. And I want there to be some kind of permanent swag for people who participate in a world first down of the raid. That's the MMO player in me that brings that out. But if there's something that'll set it apart, give us a permanent recognition of people who beat it first. And I think if you can do that and make it challenging for those people, but make it accessible to everybody, you got a winner on your hands. Because like I said in one of my videos, this game needs a pinnacle PvE endgame. It needs one. Because there are people like me. PvP is fine. It's there.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
But my favorite thing has been Towers of Endurance. I like solving those puzzles. And I really want to do that same thing with raids. But with that said, my indicator light is going off that I need to get up to the mothership. And I need to let you get back to Brazil and go to bed. So, we're going to do our quick outros. Thanks for joining me, everybody. Yeah. I have been Eric Taylor, a.k.a. The Extraterrestrial. You can find me on twitch.tv/ a.k.a. The Extraterrestrial, a.k.a. Extraterrestrial, sorry. And you can find me on YouTube. Just search Extraterrestrial Gaming. I upload videos every week, and I stream randomly throughout the week while I try and nail down the schedule. And then you can find this podcast every week either on YouTube, on Captivate, or anywhere fine podcasts are aggregated. And guest, go ahead and tell us about you.
Yeah, I am right now. You can also find me on twitch.tv/EdnaMode_and_guest, singular and guest. I did update my name recently if you followed me in the past. Typically, I stream twice a day on Monday and Wednesday. I try to do 3 p.m. and 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for a couple hours each. And then on Friday, Friday's a little bit flexible. I will typically do a pre-gaming presentation. I'll start a little earlier for the nighttime portion. I'll do a stream at 7 o'clock, and then I'll do a late night as well, because I prefer to take everybody and stream directly and raid into the number one Twitch streamer for our game right now, Cozy Gamer. So it's a nice little pre-show. But this weekend specifically, I am super excited because it is going to be my birthday stream. It is actually, oddly enough, streaming on your birthday for my celebration the following day, because our birthdays, we just discovered, are back-to-back, literally. So I will be on the 16th at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And basically, between this and raiding and back and forth, I'm going to have about five, almost 6 hours of streaming, hosting, and more streaming. So I'm really excited for what's coming up.
Yep, right. It'll be fun. All right, everybody. Well, we're going to let you get on out of here. If you're watching this on YouTube, please do not be afraid to A, click the subscribe button, B, hit the like button because it helps me out with the algorithm, and C, share it with a friend, share it with your club, share it with Twitter, do whatever, because the more you share us and you tell us that you like stuff, we'll do our best. I have been chatting with a couple of guests, besides just guests, but I've been chatting with a couple of other content creators to come and do a guest spot on various episodes as big news comes out, so we can get more than just me and guests' opinions on things. So stay tuned for that. But until next time, I have been Eric Taylor, aka The Extraterrestrial. On behalf of Guest, good night, good luck, stay safe, stay healthy, and peace on Earth, Earthlings.